This is Patrick Stump's Strip Joint, or the one where they're all strippers. A band of fanfic featuring members of Panic at the Disco and Fall Out Boy, written by Sunset Mog and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG and contains pre-Brendan Spencer and pre-Pute Patrick. The running order is Ryan, Brendan, John, Spencer. Ryan is a really goddamn awful stripper. He's a pretty terrible lap dancer too, but he's really fucking disastrous at stripping. Patrick puts him on first because at least the spectacle of Ryan on stage is over and done with early in the evening, and Patrick doesn't have to hide out back for more than the first couple of numbers. Ryan is supposedly pretty musical, all things considered. Peeps told him that Ryan plays the guitar, but he seems to have the rhythm and the dance moves of an ostrich when he's on stage. He's all angles and straight lines and elbows, and Patrick winces every time Ryan bends over the back of the chair and shakes his ass at the audience. Patrick's pretty damn gay, but he's fairly sure if he was sitting by the stage and Ryan wiggled his bony ass in Patrick's face, then he'd be inclined to go back to women. Ryan also refuses to listen to anything Pete tells him in dance rehearsals. Ryan is what Pete terms interpretive, and what Patrick privately terms a pain in the frickin' ass. Ryan has recently started to employ various scarves and paisley prints in his stripping routine, which is both an eyesore and stupidly annoying, as it takes him a good half a song to untie the scarves from around his wrists. One benefit of Ryan's extended stage time is that it has doubled the amount of time Patrick can spend in his office. This is a good thing, as Patrick's therapist had recently suggested that Patrick take up a hobby, something he can do with his hands. And as a result, Patrick's desk drawers are full of half-finished knitted scarves. Patrick can do one stitch, badly, and he tends to both lose and gain stitches without knowing why. A piece of decoupage that secretly gives him the fear, and a collection of handmade birthday cards he refuses to send. Patrick always, always keeps his desk drawers locked. Patrick has tried to point out to both Pete and Ryan that the businessmen in the club are here because they want to see men take their clothes off, and not because they want to watch a postmodern expressionist dance about the fall of society as we know it. But Ryan is petulant, and Pete never listens to anything Patrick says, so Patrick just retires to his office and thinks about crochet. Ryan, Patrick thinks, as he starts to crochet another square for his woolen blanket, is the worst stripper in the history of bad strippers. And Patrick can remember back to the time 3 years ago when everyone had gotten food poisoning and he'd ended up on stage pulling his t-shirt off to the pounding beat of Tom Jones on the sound system. That's a memory he'd quite like to wipe, and he is pretty sure the men in the audience that night felt exactly the same. Patrick just didn't have the body or the confidence for stripping. Ryan, however, is worse. Ryan takes bad stripping and makes it an idealistic art form. Patrick keeps saying that he would let Ryan go if it wasn't for the fact that people weren't exactly lining up around the block to get a job in Patrick's strip joint. Secretly, though, it's because Pete's sworn that he'll quit too if Patrick fires Ryan. And even if Pete is one of the most annoying human beings Patrick's come across, even Patrick can't deny that he's got a flair for choreographing the stripping routines. Once Ryan's finished with his expressionist monologue about the future of humanity, it's Brendan's turn to take to the stage. Brendan isn't exactly bad at stripping, so to speak. He's got the rhythm, unlike Ryan, but he just won't shut up. Patrick always knows when it's safe to come out from where he's been hiding in his office, because he can hear Brendan's whoops through the wall. Brendan uses the whole stage, and he's energetic and enthusiastic, and more than one patron of Patrick's strip joint has accidentally been hit in the face by one of Brendan's hastily discarded pieces of clothing. Brendan goes through more costumes than the rest of them put together, partly because he's got the lowest attention span of anyone Patrick's ever met, aside from Pete, but mostly because he loses bits of them each night. A sock here, a pair of satin hot pants there, it adds up. Brendan might not be the worst stripper Patrick's ever met. Ryan, Patrick thinks, savagely, and drops another stitch. But he's the most expensive to run. He's also the clumsiest. He's always tripping over his chair on stage, or falling over his shoelaces, or dropping the drinks if he's hostessing. He's enthusiastic, though, unlike some people Patrick had mentioned. He thinks, Spencer, and spills glue on his decoupage. And he's quite good at getting the clients through the curtains and into the back room for a private dance. Admittedly, Patrick thinks, most of that is because Brendan is a bit like a dog with a bone. He talks too much and doesn't give anyone a moment to get a word in edgewise. You want to go to the back room? I could dance for you, you know, if you like. I mean, actually dance, and not like fuck or something. Like, actually lap dance. I'm a pretty awesome dancer. You should totally pick me. I've got moves and everything. Like, really. You want to dance? Huh? A dance? A drink? I could get you a drink. And Patrick has watched more than one dazed and confused businessman follow Brendan through the curtain without really knowing what was going on. Most of them came out still looking dazed and confused, but Patrick was $25 better off, so he figured he was doing okay. Patrick sometimes jokes about firing Brendan because he's costing Patrick so much in costumes, but it's never going to happen, not really. Patrick likes Brendan, likes his offstage politeness and his secret, slavish devotion to Spencer. He's always nice, too, even if he's worked until close 2 weeks in a row. Apart from the extra running costs involved with Brendan, Patrick thinks that he's secretly worth every cent. The crowd always cheer loudly when he finishes his routine, and they keep cheering when John comes out on stage, although that's possibly out of sheer relief. Sometimes Patrick thinks that he likes John more than he likes Brendan, but that's only because John doesn't break so many things as Brendan does, or run around him like a hyperactive kid on speed. Brendan messes with Patrick's stitch count. John has the potential to be a better stripper than Brendan, but Patrick's pretty sure that John's been stoned every single time he's ever been on stage, so he hasn't yet exceeded expectation. Anyway, most of the customers look so dazed by the end of Brendan's routine, the least Patrick can do is give them someone laid back to follow. John is potentially the most relaxed guy Patrick has ever come across. He's certainly the most laid-back stripper Patrick's ever employed, and he's been in the business far longer than he wants to think about. In dog years, Patrick thinks, surely he's about ready to retire. In real years, though, Patrick just thinks he's old before his time. He's taken up scrapbooking. John spends most of his time offstage hanging out in the lighting box with Joe. Patrick's known Joe since he was in high school, and he's always on time with his lighting cues, so Patrick thinks he can hardly complain that he spends the rest of the time hotboxing the lighting rig with John and whoever else they can drag inside. Patrick likes to tell Joe that he's going to get Patrick shut down. But sometimes Patrick secretly thinks that would be for the best, and hopes that there's an undercover cop about to bust them for being in possession of a shitload of weed. He dreams of a job in telemarketing, perhaps, or maybe an office. He's making origami cranes and hanging them from the inside of his closet. Joe's a cool guy, though, and he always shares his stash and brings Patrick pizza, so Patrick's kind of glad he's got him on his team. Anyway, the fact that John is usually stoned on stage just seems to add to his mystique. Although, even the regulars still tend to verge towards being overwhelmed when they realize they're watching a bearded man take his clothes off to a soundtrack that's comprised almost entirely of Jack Johnson. John doesn't have a routine, so to speak. Sometimes he just sits on the floor and undoes his shoelaces until the end of the first chorus. After the last time, Patrick had insisted that he switch to something which might not double knot. He'd slip John an extra $100 to switch to Velcro. The customers tend to just stare, open-mouthed, at the stage for the whole duration of John's routine. Sometimes John carries on long after his song is finished, so Mikey's left filling the gap with whatever MP3 he's got on hand. He has been known just to plug his iPod into the sound system. A stoned, bearded man hopping across the stage while trying to get out of a pair of jeans can only truly be bettered by a soundtrack of Mikey's friend Frank's band Leathermouth. That particular experience had led to Patrick taking up cross-stitch. He picked up a few sets from the craft section in Target, and he is currently halfway through a particularly ugly Winnie the Pooh scene. He thinks very dark thoughts about Eeyore. After John has stumbled off, it's Spencer's turn on stage. Spencer is Patrick's least favorite, but mainly because Patrick knows Spencer has a nice smile. He knows because he's always accidentally walking into the dressing room to find Brendan doing an impromptu rendition of MC Hammer's Can't Touch This, complete with full dance routine. And Spencer's smiling. Brendan has the world's biggest crush on Spencer, and Patrick is pretty sure that Spencer's nursing an equally stupid crush on Brendan, too. Patrick's pretty sure that the whole world knows Brendan has the hots for Spencer. Brendan's crush is so obvious it can probably be seen from space. It's kind of sweet, actually, the way he's always bringing Spencer gifts and making sure he has a cold can of Coke or beer ready for when Spencer comes off stage. Spencer genuinely gets on with Brendan. And he definitely likes Ryan, because the two of them grew up together and turned up here together and auditioned together. And Spencer spends a couple of nights a week hotboxing the light rig with Joe and John, although he's professional enough that he only ever does it after his routine. Anyway, he likes all those people, and he even likes Patrick. And the reason Patrick knows is because Spencer smiles at all these people. He smiles and laughs and tells jokes and beams. And then he goes on stage and switches on his bitch face and turns the crowd to stone. Patrick's been trying to get Pete to have a word with Spencer about it, but it's never done any good. Not really. Patrick's worst nightmare had come true one evening when Spencer was on stage, hanging off the pole and looking like he was so bored he might just fall asleep on stage. When the businessmen at one of the tables down in front had started making fun of Spencer's headband, promising to rip it off him the next time he passed by. Patrick sometimes has nightmares that are entirely the shape and shade of Spencer's headband, but still. Spencer had carried on with his routine, thrusting up and down the pole in a pair of green satin boy shorts, waving a paisley scarf of Ryan's around his head, all at the same time as glaring at the businessmen and telling them, "I'd like to see you guys try." Patrick had taken up embroidery after that. He's got plans. He's going to hand-stitch initials onto handkerchiefs and hem them in different colored cotton. He's going to lock them in the cupboard and never let anyone see them. Sometimes Patrick thinks that he should just sell up and move on. He could be a clerk in a bookstore, or maybe a data analyst, or a postman. His therapist says that these all sound like very good ideas, but Patrick's kind of used to the strip joint by now. He's not sure what he'd do without Pete tumbling into his office 27 times a day, bringing him coffee and pastries and packets of dried banana chips, and begging Patrick to let him have the key to Patrick's secret hobby drawers. Patrick's taken to wearing the key around his neck on a string, but Pete just waggles his eyebrows and says Patrick's playing hard to get. One day, Pete tells him, Patrick's going to beg Pete to come upstairs so he can show him his etchings. Patrick sighs. Pete's probably right. Until then, though, Patrick's taking up stenciling. The end.